Pastor, and I want you to know this about you. Pastor, you're fortunate to have a pastor like Brother Kevin. He's been here, I understand, 20 years, working on 21, and that's quite a while. I'm here today with my wife, Debbie. We just celebrated 53 years of her putting up with me. Amen. But we've traveled throughout the United States over the years working with ministers, and I want you to know that you're fortunate to have him, because you know the average time at a church is 8 years at the most, but normally around 3 years. So you're fortunate. But when I left here, headed to Northwestern, I was headed there for a specific reason, and that was to play football. But when I got there, I found out, well, things change, and they change fast. And what changed for me was they scheduled all my classes. But there was one particular class that they scheduled that I wasn't quite sure how that was going to work out, and it was called impromptu speaking. Now, I know y'all all done that, but if you don't know what that is, it's going up before a group of people and talking about something you never heard of before. This case, we walked into a big auditorium class. I don't know how many people were there. The professor walked up, and he had a ball cap. And he went up to his desk, and he called roll, and he said, as I call your name, you come out, pick a topic out of this ball cap, go up to the, you have between my desk and the podium to decide on what you're going to say, and speak for 5 minutes. So I said, well, see what that happens. I'm going to watch, see what everybody does. So the first name he calls out is James Davenport. So I bebopped up to his desk and reached into his cap and pulled out a little slip of paper and started to unfold it, and there was a topic: toilet seats. I made an A in that class. But anyway, today what I want to talk to you about is something totally different, and it's something that has been, since this came up about this Lynn being baptized, she had given her life to Christ and she wanted to be baptized, and the Lord just put something on my heart. And I talked to Brother Kevin. I said, well, when he called, you know, I'd always prayed, my wife and I prayed, that if when Lynn was baptized, I sure would like to be the one that did that. And he answered that prayer. And at the same time, I said, you know, Brother Kevin, I sure would like to preach this service. There's something on my heart. And that topic, James up in the sound booth there asked me, he said, what's that topic you got? And I said, it's participation. I want to talk about participation today. And he said, well, what verse is that in? And I said, about 18. He said, well, that's quite a few. And I said, yeah, it is. So I'm going to, they told me I only had an hour and a half, so I'm going to have to kind of speed it up. So I know you, but do y'all have Sunday school at 9, huh? Okay, so I'll have to really speed it up. But what I want to talk about is this, is in Acts, it says this, however, I am considered my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying of the good news of God's grace. And that applies to each one of us. You're probably sitting there and wondering, what is he talking about, participation? Are you talking about participation in the event that you're going to have Friday night where you're going to have a lock-in with all the children? Are you participating in a function that the church is going to have on a certain day? Or what are you talking about, participation? The participation that I'm talking about is participating in the kingdom of God. And you're probably saying, well, how do you do that? It's something that God, from the very beginning, wanted us to do. He wants us to participate along with him in his kingdom. Do you think for a second that God needed Adam to take care of the Garden of Eden? He created that place. It was beautiful. It had everything in it. Do you think he really needed him And Eve to go in there and cultivate and name all the animals. Do you think he needed that? Do you think for a minute that God needed Moses? Do you think he really needed Moses to lead his people out of Egypt? Did he? I mean, Moses couldn't have did it without him, for sure. But do you think he really needed him? Do you think that in all of the times that crossing the Jordan and going into the land of Canaan and fighting all of, do you think that the people needed the warriors? Did they need that? Or did Jesus do it? Did God do it all? He didn't need any of those things. But you know what? He allowed them to participate. He allowed them to participate, and he wants each of us to participate in his kingdom, in doing what he's doing. Now, you said, Jim. Most people call me Jim unless you went to high school with me. Say, Jim, how do I do that? Do you have an outline for me? Do you have a model for me? Do you have it outlined? I don't. But God does. Right. He gave it to us in a very defined manner. You call it the Bible, don't you? What I call it is basic instructions before leaving Earth. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's all contained between these covers. Everything that you need to know. All right, so I'm going to go through this with you. Now, what Brother Kevin for the past 20 years has already told you everything that I'm getting ready to tell you. I'm just going to give it to you one more time, and I'm going to tell you why. When I got out of college, I got a job, and I was doing something I didn't want to do, and that was in sales. I wanted to be a technical guy. These guys wanted me to be a salesman. I have no idea why, but they put me with somebody to train with, and they said, you need to go with this guy and see how this is done. So I did. We went to this office. We sat there. And we talked, he talked to the guy back and forth across the desk. He talked about collard greens, mustard greens, growing this, growing that, eating that, hunting here and doing fishing this and all that stuff. And then hello, goodbye, we're leaving. And as we were walking out, he gets a phone call. And we could hear the conversation and the guy saying, well, I need this and I need this. And he says, well, I need to call and get this. And I said, that's what you're selling. So he turned around and we walked back to this and he said, Joe, he said, that's exactly what I have. He looked up at him and he said, I didn't know that. So we left. And I said, why didn't you tell him that? He looked at me and he says, I've told him that 10 times, at least 10 times. I said, he said he didn't know you had it. So what I'm here today is, Brother Kevin has told you 10 times 10 what I'm getting ready to tell you. But I'm hoping that when I say it to you, and the way I say it, it's going to stick with you first. First of all, God wants all of us to go to heaven. He wants all of us to have eternal life. He's told you that. God said he gave his son for those who believed in him will have eternal life. He did that. He gave it to us. It says if we accept it, we're saved. But there's a key component to this salvation. When we're saved, we understand the truth. And that's in Timothy, 1 Timothy. That's a little part that's kind of skipped over a little bit. We understand the truth. Put an asterisk by that. We understand the truth. Then we jumped over, look in Romans, and it says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Now, I'm not going to use any of these fancy words. Justified, justification, sanctified. I don't even know what they mean to y'all. But I do know this, that if you accept Christ in your heart, you're going to be saved, that he was raised from the dead. But it says, that's salvation. If you profess with your mouth that he is saved. And we do that. We come and we profess with our mouth. But there's going to be three people who come today that's going to announce that to y'all. I'm saved. And they're going to show it right there in that baptism. They're going to profess it. They're going to show it. Did y'all know this, the importance of that? And I know you know this question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. When Jesus started his ministry on earth here, what was one of the first things he did, if not the first? Do y'all know? If you know that, raise your hand. Oh, everybody's raising their hand. You know what he did? He was baptized. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a trick question. Yeah, he was baptized. That was it. God had sent John the Baptist here, and he'd preached all this. And then Jesus stepped out into that Jordan, and he was baptized. And that was the beginning of his ministry. You know what the second thing he did? He prayed. He prayed. He got baptized, and he prayed. The next thing I want to talk to you about is this. And you find it in the curriculum. It says, so all of us who have had the veil lifted. We don't look at that. That's important. Asterisk. You know, it says that he wants us to understand the truth. And the only way that we can understand the truth is having that veil lifted so that we can see and hear. We can see and hear what? We can see what his word is telling us. As we read it, it talks to us. It talks to us. So Paul says that the Spirit that comes to us when we receive Christ proclaims that we are children of God. We are children of God. Some people here might say children, but we're children of God. Keep in mind that God wants his children to become just like Christ. Amen. He wants us to become just like Christ, just like Jesus. You say, that's a task. How do we do that? Anybody got any ideas? Think about it. How do we become like Christ? It says in Romans that if all his children, the heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. It says we all become that. It says God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become just like his son. So we know that when we were yet in our mother's womb, God knew us and had a plan for us. Yeah, he did. He had a plan for us, and when we accepted that plan, when we accepted his sacrifice, when he accepted his gift, and we became that child of God, he had some things. He wants us to become heirs to the kingdom. He wants us to be just like his son, co-heirs with Jesus. He wants us to be that. But what do? We have to do it. So how many people, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I've seen this over the years. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what my will is. And you can shake your head up and down. It's all right. But I've heard that, and you've asked that question. Well, what is God's will for me? What is God's will for me? I can't tell you the specific, but I can tell you the general. It's very plain what it is. It says, in Romans, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit testifies to our spirit. Now, when we talk from here on, I ain't talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. And I know the Bible refers to physical things all the time when it's trying to explain the spiritual. So we want to talk about everything that I say today is not physical. It's spiritual. You know, the verses that I've looked at, it kind of describes the position of those that's been saved. Faith in Christ. Faith is an important thing. Faith in Christ by the grace of God. Grace is an important thing. The Bible refers to at Pentecost, it said that's when the Spirit of grace was released into the world. Did you know that? Bet you didn't know that. Yeah, you did. The Spirit of grace was released into the world at Pentecost that day. That's when the actual church, God's church, began on that day. But we wonder, what is faith? Said we are saved by faith. What is faith? Faith is the confidence in what we hope to be. We hope to be. I have faith that that'll happen. We're hoping that'll happen. If you got faith in God, and if it's God's will, it's going to happen. There's no two ways about it. It's no two ways about it. That's faith is that. But we have to live. If we look in Philippians, it says, if you live in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. We're working toward that participation, but in order to get there, we've got to think and act like Jesus Christ. Do you see where I'm heading? Participation. If we're going to participate in God's kingdom, we've got to do what Jesus did. We've got to live like Jesus did. Are we going to suffer and die on the cross? Probably not. But are we going to suffer? My wife and I just discussed that in the last couple of days. We're not going to suffer like him, but are we going to suffer? Look at some of the things that's happening in the world today. Do you like that? Does it hurt you? If it doesn't hurt you, we got a problem, but it hurts you. We're suffering through that. The Olympics, the way they started, did you see that? Are you suffering through that? Does that hurt you? Huh? It tears me up. And my wife was telling me something. I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. They said, well, the headline said they're mocking God. No, you're not mocking God. You might be mocking Christians, but you can't mock God. That isn't going to happen. Well, if we Christ-like, like Jesus, God wants us. I'm going to read this right here to you. God wants us, his children, to be Christ-like. Simply, we must have the Spirit of Christ following his teaching. We manifest the qualities of Jesus Christ. How do you manifest the qualities of Jesus Christ? How many have you heard of the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, faithfulness, gentleness. Most importantly, self-control. Those fruits of the Spirit indicate, shows that we're grounded in Christ. That we're grounded in Christ. In John, we see God says, I came down from heaven. This is Jesus talking. I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father who sent me. That's what he came for. I came down from heaven to do the will of the Father who sent me. Then further on in John it says, I say to you this, the Son cannot do anything of himself. He can only do that which the Father has done. He can't do it himself. He can only do that which the Father has done and wants him to do. Where am I going to? That's where we're at. We need to do what the Father wants. Follow my line of thinking. Jesus came down from heaven to do the will of his Father. The Father wants us to be just like Jesus. So if he came down from heaven to do the will of the Father, and the Father wants us to be like Jesus, then if we put that in equation, therefore, the Father wants us to do his will. Right. He wants us to do his will. Well, what's his will? It's exactly what Jesus did. And the whole New Testament is about what Jesus did. It tells us all what Jesus did. It says that he can do nothing on his own, but only those things the Father wants to do. But here's the part I like. This is the part I like. You may hear me talk about this guy. His name is Brother Charlie Grigsby. He was the pastor at First Baptist Church in Moss Bluff when I was saved. I was not saved under him. But one thing about it, I spent 1 year with him every week, going to visitation. I learned a lot. And one day I was in his office, and I'm seeing his schedule. And let me tell you what, pastors have a schedule. You think, wow, you don't follow in their shoe steps. See the times of phone calls that they get. I don't want to get sidetracked. My wife said I'll chase the rabbits all the time. I know rabbit hunting used to be big around here. I think that fire ants took it over, right? But anyway, I'm looking at his schedule. I said, how do you do all that? How do you physically do it? He said, I'm fed by God doing his will. Doing the will of God feeds your spirit. It keeps you pumped. It keeps you pumped up. It keeps you wanting to go. When you're fed by the Spirit, when you're participating in God's kingdom, you're fed by the Spirit, you want to go, he says, to accomplish his work, to do the work of God feeds me. It feeds you. It keeps you going. You don't need the food and the water and all the other stuff. You can keep on going just on God's love. You can keep on going. You can participate every day. It says that. That's in John. You miss that. Jesus said, my food is that of the will of him, his Father, who sent me to accomplish his work. That's my food. So, you said, well, the will of Christ, the will of God is all spread out in the Bible, and it is. It is. I'm just going to go over some highlights with you, because he goes over all the specifics with you. You know the good thing about just coming in and doing what I'm doing today? See, you can dislike this, what I'm saying. You can get mad and walk out, or you can be happy, but you'll never see me again. Hopefully that's not right. But he got to see him every day. But I can just walk out and leave. But here's the will. The will of the Father is, number one, he wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. Everybody. Even that woman in that scene on that Olympics, he wants that one, or whatever that person was, wants that person to be saved. He wants the veil removed. He wants us to know the truth. He wants us to be baptized. The first example that he gave, the first commandment, one of the commandments that he gave, what was the last thing he said? What was the last thing he said before he ascended into heaven? Go and baptize. Yeah, he wants that. Then he wants us to become children of God. He wants us, but do you do all that? Be children of God, just like Jesus. He wants us to be just like Jesus, children of God. He wants us to become heirs to the kingdom. I can't even imagine what that would be. I can't imagine that. We don't have anything here that can give us that perspective. We just don't have it. Imagine that. But he wants us to have it just like Jesus, his son. He wants us to become Christ-like. It says it. He wants us to become Christ-like. Just like Jesus. But let me just sidetrack right there just for a minute. Christ-like. Christ-like. Can we translate that into Christian? He's probably preached up here about the city of Antioch. Antioch was once a center of the religious things that was going on at that period of time. But they were trying to mock a lot of those people. And they said, y'all act and y'all speak just like him. Him was Jesus. He said, y'all act and y'all speak just like him. And they call that Christian. So, how many times have you been asked a question, are you this, this, or this, and one of those answers was Christian, and you checked that one off? Or you said, well, I'm a Christian. Well, do you act and speak just like Jesus? If you don't, you can't check that one off. you can't check that one off, because you need to act and speak just like Jesus. That means when you go leave here, this is not what it's all about, this building. It's what's it all about is when you go outside and participate in the kingdom of God, in doing what Jesus did, speaking and acting. So when somebody says, if you go up to somebody and, I see Jesus in that person. You know, I see Jesus in that person. Do they see Jesus in you? I had a person ask me that one time. He was a pastor. And I was sitting across his desk and he said, Jim, do you see Jesus in me? And I said, I don't. I couldn't believe I said that. It just fell out my mouth. I couldn't believe I said it. I was so embarrassed. And he just kind of sunk down in his desk. Almost to the date, a year later, he gave his life to Christ. He was a pastor, never had given his life to Christ. He thought he had. He was baptized. That don't make you a Christian. That don't save you. He had done all that. He had went to seminary. He had gotten a degree. He was ordained by man. He was never ordained by God. Not until almost a year later he accepted God as his Lord and Savior. And guess what? I promise you, if you see that man today, you can see Christ in him. You can see Christ in him. You can. But he wants us to be fed. And that don't mean gumbo, crawfish etouffee, catfish couvillon, chicken sauce piquant. It don't mean any of that stuff. That's physical. Our spirit has to be fed just like our body is fed. It's all fed. We have to be like that. How do we feed that? By doing the will of God, by speaking, by doing just like Jesus did. And then we're doing that. We're doing that. Being Christ-like is participating in God's kingdom. Being Christ-like is participating in God's kingdom. Each of us have gifts. He's preached on spiritual gifts. Thank you for doing that. He's talked about all of these things. I don't have to talk about them. He's already done it. I can capitalize on them. You see? He's already done that. We've all got spiritual gift that was conveyed to us when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior at salvation. Ours. We all have probably parts of all of them, but there's some that we have more than others. We need to use these gifts to further the ministry of Christ. We can use those gifts. How can we do it? Maybe it's just telling others about God, what God has done in our life. Maybe just tell somebody that. Simple as that. What has God done in your life? Or maybe it can be showing them, letting them see how the fruit of the Spirit in you. You ever have somebody say, I don't see how you get through this? That ever happened? I don't see. Why are you so calm? How do you have peace in this? A funeral. Somebody dies. How can you? You've seen some people, they're falling all apart. They can't handle it. But a person that's in Christ can, because they have that peace, they have that hope, they have that joy. They know. Maybe it's somebody that's fearing the hereafter. Well, I don't know. They say, I hope I went to confession just before I die. I hope I did that. Man, I hope you did too. But I hope you went to confession with God and confessed your sins to God and asked him to be your Lord and Savior. I hope you did that. I hope you did that. But you can say this. You can tell somebody that you can know for sure. You can give them that peace. You can tell them. It's simple. I use two questions. I'm standing at the counter at the bank. I don't know who the teller are. They change all the time. When you go to church, where do you go to church? And they look at me. You think that's a bad question, huh? When you go to church, where do you go to? I've never had anybody tell me anything bad. Well, they want to tell you. They'll tell you, well, I really haven't been to church in this many years. Well, when I went here. Well, I've never gone. My family never did that. Oh, okay. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Well, what happens if you die? Do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Do you know for sure? Oh, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I was baptized. You were? That pastor was baptized. He had never given his life to Christ. Are you sure that you're going to heaven? If you leave here today and drive down that road and that 18-wheeler crosses that line and runs you head on, or some guy or some woman or whoever, and you're dead, like in a heartbeat, or you walking out your door and you get to the living room and you drop dead, or if you did just like a friend of ours who is singing at a funeral, goes to practice, walks up and keels over, he's dead. He was doing God's work and he's dead. I hope. I believe he was. God took him. But do you know? Do you know for sure? Can you take a chance? Can you take a chance? I'll tell you, if I ever get called back, I'll tell you a story about taking a chance. You don't want to take that chance. But you can do that. You can share that. In your Bible, there's a prayer. It's the prayer of Jabez. Man, it's a hidden jewel. You've heard of diamonds in the rough? It's a diamond in the rough. It's a big diamond. But in that prayer, one of the things he says is, God, expand my coast. That can be interpreted in a lot of ways. But here's how I interpret it. Expand my coast. Give me more people. Bring more people to me. Put me in front of more people so that I can tell them about you. So that I can further your kingdom, so that I can be fed, so that when I leave here today, I can be walking 2 feet off this floor. And then it doesn't matter what happens after that. That's where. That's being fed. Somebody says, well, I just don't understand that. I wished I could give you that feeling. The best feeling that you've ever had, if you take that feeling and raise it to the 10th power, and that's it. When you're being fed by the Spirit, that's how you feel. My wife and I went and did an outreach up in Deer Creek, Oklahoma. And it was on a creek, and it was surrounded by deer. It was a lovely place. Deer Creek. And I'll never forget what my wife said coming back. I asked her, do you remember what she said? And she told me no. Here's what she said. It always stuck with me. She said, well, it really doesn't matter what happens after this. She says, I feel like I'm walking 2 foot off the ground. We did the will of God there. We were, our spirit was full. It was full of crawfish etouffee. You hear me? Yes. We were, and had bread pudding with that white chocolate rum sauce on the top, just made. I mean, the spirit was filled. Can you get that? Can you see that? You feel me? Yeah. That's it. That's how we were when we left there. You don't want to leave here any other way. Remember that dash between them born and died. That's your legacy. Whenever they get up here and talk to you about you, that's what they're going to talk about. They're going to mention the day you were born and the day you just died, but that's what they're going to talk about. But I'm going to tell you this. By God's grace, the Spirit of grace was released at Pentecost, by God's grace, and he gives us grace for grace. The Bible says he gives us grace for grace. He gives us all of the words Jesus didn't give the apostle a list of things to say. He sent them out, and he gave them, the Holy Spirit preceded them, and he gave them the words. You don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is have that faith. Do you have that faith? Faith is a hard thing to grasp, to get a hold to. Some people said, I wish I had that faith. I wished I had that faith. And I was like that too. And I was working. And we had been preparing for this presentation with a major oil company. It was the difference between this company staying afloat and going under. And they said, we're gonna invite you to participate in this. And here's what you have to do. They gave us a 3-ring binder explaining what we had to do just to participate, to get a chance, to get a shot at it. We worked on that 3-ring binder for 6 months. 6 months. And it took a collaboration, everybody within this company putting in this part, putting in this part. And back then, we didn't have PowerPoint. We had overhead projectors. So we were not only writing out the script, but we were putting it on transparencies to go on this overhead projectors, and this was all happening. But you know what? The company was still functioning. This was something on the side. And the night, now listen to me, the day before the presentation, which I had to give, I drew the tag, the little slip, had not been put together completely. It was all in parts, laying on tables. So this one guy says, we had it all divided. He says, I'm going to bring it to Kinko's. Thank God for Kinko's. I don't know if you have a Kinko's. They're not in FedEx, bought them out, and I don't know what happened to them. But he brought them to Kinko's. He called me about 9 o'clock that night, and he said, Jim, your copy is on your desk. Thank you, Bill, for doing that. It was all put together. So the next morning, I showed up at the office real early, and for the first time, I saw the completed presentation. Another 3-ring binder, one with the written, one with the overheads. And I picked it up, and I looked at my watch, and I headed to Gaydon. Duck capital of the world. I mean, Gaydon. Anyhow, they have good crawfish etouffee there. But on the way, I'm trying to drive with my left hand, look out the side of my ear to road, and glance through this thing, see what's in there. You know? Have you ever tried to, you just so much wanted to do something, and something just kept coming in your mind, kept grabbing a hold to you, jerking you, pulling you off to the side? The phone rings, this happened or this happened. That's what was happening. God was pulling me off to the side. He kept flooding my mind with his plan, his will. You know what I finally did? I stopped and I said, okay. This is how I said it. I promise you, this is almost verbatim. I said, okay, God, I'll do it your way. But you better take care of this. And the rest of the way, all I did was pray and listen to what the God had to say to me. I hope you listen to what God has to say. I got there, parked, drove in, and they were opening the conference room. And they said, oh, by the way, Jim, this is the story of my life. Since you weren't here, we decided you'd go first. I came out and I said, that's the best presentation I ever gave. We got this. It wasn't us. We didn't get that. Somebody else did. But God had a plan. I was faithful to that. I was faithful to it. I was very upset when I heard. Within 3 months, the person that got it had lost it, and we had it all. Faithful to God, participating in his plan. God wants us. He wants each of us. So let me just finish here, that I pray that God's hand would be on each one of us. that we would want to participate in his kingdom, that we allow him to feed our spirit, and we just do his will. Just share, like my wife would say, just slush out on everybody that you come in contact with. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the word. Lord, I just pray that your hearts have been touched and minds have been changed. Lord, I pray that they heard your words and not mine. And Lord, I just pray that we can go forth and we can participate in your kingdom by sharing you with everyone that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name I pray.